Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Today's story illustrates the sacrament of confirmation.
Budapest in Hungary looks pretty much the way it always has looked. A few changes that time always brings to any city. I must confess that my native city is very, very dear to me, and it has its own place in the long history of Europe, and our monuments to that history testify to our people's devotion to God. During the secular wars, together with other Western nations, we stood against the barbarisms of the Huns, Tatars, and Magyars. And now, most of us here stand, at least in spirit, against the barbarisms of our communist oppressors. I am pastor of St. Augustine's Church. I was saying that Budapest has not changed too much on the surface. The beautiful statues are still here, the Parliament Palace, the University, the Academy of Science, the Cathedral of St. Stephen. And in the middle of the Danube River, Margaret Island is still just as lovely as ever. And 68 miles away, nothing has happened to change the magnificent scenery around Lake Balaton. But the heart of my poor city has been sorely bruised. I could have fled when it all happened. Many of us could have fled. But we were born here. And to have run away before the enemies of God when they raked us with shot and shell would have been unthinkable. We did not think of ourselves as heroes, those of us who remained here to resist the enemy. But we were very conscious of the courage our Lord gave us when we sought his help. Looking back, I now realize it is not given to all of us to stand and fight. There must always be those who flee. But those of us who did remain here to pursue our faith under the very noses of the communists did so because each was prepared to die in the name of our Lord. This is why I want you to hear the story of Malvina, a girl of 14 who could have fled but didn't. It began October 23rd, 1956. It went on day and night, the rising of decent people against their ungodly communist oppressors. And it was the young people who fought the most savagely, the boys and girls educated to Christianity. It was these who stood against tanks and mechanized flamethrowers with their bare hands and whatever improvised weapons they could make. They neither fled nor did they hide, until they knew the battle was lost, when the rest of the world spoke brave words, but took no action. There were hours when the city was shrouded in silence, a silence that smelled of blood and of death and betrayal, a silence that moaned like a tortured soul through the gaping holes in buildings and the rubble that was once a block of homes. It was a silence that was frozen by hatred, by despair, by disillusionment, by bitterness. And people kept their doors bolted as if to keep all of this out.
Again. Oh, why don't they stop? If only I could sleep and forget. Who is it?
Madame Dobrynska. Please let me in.
Who is it?
Malvina.
Who is with you?
No one. I'm alone. I'm all alone.
Come in, quickly. What are you doing here, Malvina?
They're both dead. They were killed.
Your parents?
The room was large and elegant and comfortable. And long into the night, the woman Slava Dobrynska comforted the girl. Death and killing had become commonplace. And during this first week, our beloved Cardinal Mincenti was released from his prison. As a propaganda gesture, most of us thought. And during these same first days and nights, the girl found shelter with Madame Dobrynska.
Why didn't you leave the city and the country? You say you had the chance.
I couldn't leave mother and father.
They were dead.
But I was to be confirmed today. Today, madame. Today I was to be confirmed by the bishop.
Well, that's so important. Oh, Malvina, lately I've begun to think we'd be better off under the communists. We could forget the church then, for what good it is.
Oh, don't, please don't say things like that.
Why not?
Because you don't mean what you say.
I mean every word.
Oh, you don't, you couldn't.
Have you listened to the radio today?
Radio?
No, you haven't listened, have you?
No.
You should. It's inspiring. The whole Christian world is outraged by what's happening in Hungary. Oh, you should listen to the brave words, Malvina. Only no country, Christian or otherwise, is going to lift a finger to help us. No one is going to risk getting hurt just to help you and me. We've been abandoned by our Christian world.
God has not abandoned us.
God? I sometimes wonder.
We can't blame God for what's happening to us, madame.
Oh, Malvina. I wasn't going to say that. Listen. Malvina.
I'm sorry.
I know. You can't help thinking about your parents. Well, neither can I. They were shot down, but who cares?
God cares. He does. He does.
Oh, stop it, child. We're born, we live, and we die, either from sickness, old age, or bullets, and that's all there is to it. Well, go to bed, Malvina. As soon as you can leave the city, we'll find some way to get you to your grandmother. And I don't want to hear anything more about the church, or about God, or about your confirmation. Now go to bed.
All right, Madame Dobrynska. And thank you for taking care of me.
Come here, my child.
Yes, madame.
Dry your eyes. There. That's better. Now go to bed.
The child went to bed, not to rest in peace, not to dream the pleasant dreams of childhood, but instead to relive the nightmare of seeing her parents murdered by communist machine guns. And in the chill of dawn, she wakened and got out of bed. She walked to the window and opened the shutters and stared out at Budapest. It was gray, and it was cold, and at one end of the street stood a Russian tank, its guns aimed and ready to spit fire and death.
Malvina, can't you sleep?
Oh, good morning, madame.
I couldn't sleep either.
Look down there.
Yes, I know. A Russian tank. There's one on every corner.
And no one will drive them away.
No one.
It's so hard to believe, isn't it?
It shouldn't be. It's happened before in other countries.
What's going to become of us?
I'll have no trouble. I can tell you that. I'll be whatever they want me to be. But you, I don't know what the future holds for you or for your church.
I don't know either. I'm so tired. I should have run away when I had the chance.
Of course you should.
Now it doesn't seem to matter. Nothing really matters, does it?
Just living. That's all that counts.
Were you ever confirmed, madame?
Yes, I was baptized and confirmed. A long time ago.
And it doesn't matter?
Why should it matter? Anyway, the communists have taken over now. We have to live their way. Or not live at all. And I want to live.
So do I. Who can it be?
Let me look through the window.
Open up.
Secret police.
Not quite so secret these days.
Open this door in the name of the state. Well, you took your time, eh?
Well, you didn't give me much time. Come in. We're making coffee.
Ah, good. Your daughter?
No, just a friend.
She's pretty, eh?
Malvina, the gentleman says you're pretty. Say thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Comrade. You call me comrade, eh?
Oh, she just woke up. Here, let me make the coffee. And how can we help you? Are you looking for information?
Now, you sound cooperative.
Why shouldn't I be, comrade?
Good. It's good to know the ones we can trust.
You can trust me.
Well, do you know where the priest is?
Priest?
Of this parish. He calls himself Luke, Father Luke. He helped some traitors escape. Students. They threw a bomb into the headquarters of the secret police. And the priest helped them get away.
Priest? They would do that, wouldn't they?
Well, their time is coming, too. I thought you might know where this one is. We're looking for him.
No, but if I hear anything...
Good. And what about this little one, huh? Maybe she could find out something?
If she can, she'll cooperate.
We're keeping watch on the bishop, too. Maybe the priest will try to contact him. The bishop is worried. We told him we were hunting for the priest. What do you think he said? Little one, what do you think the bishop said?
I don't know.
He said, well, it wasn't the first time a man of God has had to hide in the catacombs. I thought that was very funny, because we don't have any catacombs in Budapest.
Yes, that is funny. Isn't it, Malvina? Don't you find it funny?
But you're wrong. You're both wrong. We do have catacombs in Budapest.
We do have catacombs? Where?
Wherever Father Luke is hiding from you. And wherever that is, he's still doing God's work.
Malvina, you stupid girl.
We can deal with her, comrade.
I am not afraid to die. Madame Dobrunska, thank you for taking care of me. I did tell you I wanted to live. And I do. But I want eternal life. And if this man wants to take me away...
Don't worry, I'm taking you away now. Never mind the coffee, comrade.
All right. Oh, you fool, Malvina. Now what good is your church?
This way. Through the alley. Come on. Here she is, Father. She thought she was being arrested. She was ready to die for our Lord.
Where did you find her?
Madame Dobrunska's house. And Madame is ready to go over to the communists.
Many are frightened. So, we have found you, my child.
Father Luke.
We were worried about you. The bishop and I both. We know about your parents. You were to be confirmed last Sunday.
Yes, Father.
Well, you mustn't delay your confirmation any longer, must we?
But I don't understand.
You don't need me any longer, Father.
Be careful, my son.
You be careful, Father.
God go with you.
Then he's not?
But he is, my child. At least on the surface. He has what he terms infiltrated in the secret police. In this way, he works against them and works for God. He is a very brave man, and his work is very dangerous. Someday he will be caught. Somebody will betray him. He knows this.
What a wonderful man.
Well, later on we'll go to the bishop and he'll confirm you.
It'll be dangerous for you to go out.
It won't be the first time in the history of the church that a priest had to disguise his appearance, my child. Now, rest. I have some work to do in the next room.
Father?
Hmm?
Madame Dobrunska said the rest of the Christian world has abandoned us. Is it true?
In a sense, my child. In a sense. But have we the right to expect armies to come to our help and start another major war that would destroy most of mankind? I don't think so, my child. And then there is another side, our side. We're under attack, threatened by God's enemies. But this is our chance to prove to ourselves and to our Lord that all the brutality of Russian interference in our country's affairs will never destroy our faith. All we need to do is to ask God for His grace, His strength. We are not alone in our fight, Malvina.
There was one moment when I thought we were, and when I lost faith.
Oh, my dear, it could only have been for a moment. But I'm glad that we found you again. Oh, shooting outside this house.
Along one of the alleyways, I think.
I was thinking of our friend. Hide, my child. Through that door, down the stairs to the cellar.
Father, open the door, quickly.
Madame Dobrunska.
Then we must open the door. Quickly, come in.
Thank you, Father. He's dead. The man who brought her here. I followed them here. I saw him leave. He was questioned in the square, and he started to run. They shot him, and they're looking for you. They know you're in one of these places.
Come. We'll go down to the cellar. God rest his brave soul. The intrigues of history in the Middle Ages had left their mark on many of these houses. In many dwellings, there are still secret compartments and tunnels. The house that had been placed at my disposal was one of these. But I could only hope to remain concealed for a short while once the secret police suspected my presence in this particular house. In the basement of the house was my temporary altar, my temporary shrine, where I had conducted the work of God for several days and nights.
You followed me here and you did not betray us, Madame.
Betray you? Oh,
Father, you should have seen her. You should have seen how brave she was. She made me ashamed. Made me feel lost. As if all my roots had been torn up and I was nobody and had no one. And then I saw that brave man killed. He died rather than tell them where you were.
My daughter, God is waiting for you to return to him.
Oh, Father, I've committed many sins. I even tried to weaken this girl's faith. Yes, I want to go to confession. And I want to be with Malvina when she's confirmed.
There may not be much time, my daughter. So come with me and I will hear your confession. The beautiful example of a young Catholic girl had reached out and had saved an older woman from a life of sin. And now she had placed herself with Malvina and myself in immediate peril of her life. Even as I heard her confession, we could both hear the sound of the secret police pounding on doors nearby. Malvina's confirmation could not wait. My child, you know it is the bishop who ordinarily administers the sacrament of confirmation. This custom comes down to us from the apostles, our Lord's first bishops. But there are times when a priest like myself may administer the sacrament. Times like these, my child, when death is very near, and when we cannot be sure that we shall live to take you to the bishop.
Father, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm only afraid of not being confirmed before I die.
Come. There is not much time. I had a plentiful amount of chrism on hand. The mixture of oil and balsam blessed by the bishop as recently as the previous Holy Thursday. And I thought to explain its significance to Malvina. My child, there are a few things I would like you to recall as the Holy Ghost comes upon you. For one thing, the oil used in the chrism is symbolic of the abundance of grace pouring into your soul. And the sweet perfume of the balsam is a reminder of the sweet virtue to which you will cling all the days of your life. And now let us pray. Almighty God, thou knowest this young girl's love for thee. Thou knowest she renounced evil and was prepared to die for thy holy name. Thou knowest, too, that she now comes before thee seeking thy grace, thy spiritual strength, without which she knows she might fail thee in her future life. O Lord, as we stand in thy divine presence, we do beseech thee to look with favor upon this child, who in the first flush of maidenhood faces a future beset by the hatred of thy enemies all about her. Lord, as this holy sacrament is administered, thy wisdom and thy strength shall fill her, and thy voice will be heard within her saying, I will teach you what is right and help you to do it. I will make you strong to resist evil and to help you grow into a strong Christian soldier of Jesus Christ. Spiritus Sanctus superveniat in te, et virtus altissimi custodiat.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Ghost. What is your name, child?
Malvina Vestra.
Malvina, I sign thee with the sign of the cross, and I confirm thee with the chrism of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Peace be with thee.
Where is she, Father?
Listen, they are here. They're breaking down the door.
Father, where is she?
Where is she?
Malvina.
She must be here.
Why have they stopped?
Why had they stopped breaking down the door? We knew several hours later. And where was Malvina? We knew about that, too, much later. Unseen by us, she had climbed into the coal chute and raised herself up to the street level. And then she had led the secret police away from the house, pretending she was taking them to where I was hidden. Her body was found in the street in the gray hours of dawn, shot dead by the communist police. Oh, she had not died that I might live, unless it was that she wanted me to carry on God's work. She died for the glory of God, died without fear of death. She died a soldier of Jesus Christ, having received the sacrament of confirmation. She died for her faith, for all the things she believed in. Someday, if we are ever free, perhaps we shall erect a monument to her and to all the brave dead of Budapest who died for their faith, fighting the communist terror.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He look upon you with kindness and give you His peace. Amen.